Cathedral of Higher Praise. Amen. Amen. Prior to Thursday night, the last time I was in this edifice, I was serving as your regional overseer. God blessed us for 21 years to serve as overseer for 21 years, to serve in the pastry for 18 years. And I'm so thankful and so grateful. I mean, my next birthday, it's hard for me to even realize it. My next birthday, I'll be 70 years old. I'll be 70 years old by next day. I'm looking forward to it, though. I'm looking forward to it. I kind of feel like maybe God is doing me like he did. Joshua, and he did Moses, how through all of that journey he did not allow anything to deal with natural forces and flow in their life. And sometimes life will say to me, you are not as young as you used to be. I say, I know, but I still feel you. But God is so good. To stand here this morning is such a tremendous blessing. And it blessings on many levels. But starting with the very fact of who your pastor and first lady is. That blesses me. Can you give them another hand? Yeah. And your pastor mentioned when I would be at his house, I would be in his home for several reasons, and the one, I was there to eat. Number one, I was always there to eat, and then I was there for fellowship. I was there for fellowship, and I was also there to grow in the knowledge and love of God. Bishop Boone and I used to share consistently, and what an amazing man. What an amazing man of God. What an amazing husband and father. Just absolutely amazing. He took me, along with several other young ministers, under his wing and began to introduce us to ministry and administration in ministry. And I remember sitting in Exeter, Rhode Island, in his home. And he said to me, I want you to know what an overseer does. And I said, okay. He said, one day you're going to be an overseer. And I was like, well, I don't know. I guess it's okay, because I've been a member of the Church of God of Prophecy now going on almost 60 years, 57 years. So if anybody can talk about Church of God of Prophecy in history, I think it's me. And I can do that without malice or meanness. I just tell the truth about who we are, who we've been, and what we need to be. But I scratched my head because I was like, this man is pointing out that me being an overseer, but the history of overseers in the U.S. didn't look like me. And so I was like, so are you saying I will replace you? I don't want to replace you. I still want to follow you. But I remember such a warm and engaging heart. We would sit in his office, and he would just walk through things one right after the other. And he'd say, you understand that? And I'd ask questions, and he would give me answers back. And I remember when I was appointed as overseer of Pennsylvania, and I called him. And he said, you know I will come to you. He said, you know I will. And he was true to his word. He was true to his word. My first convention, Bishop and Sister Boone rolled right in there. And I was feeling nervous when they got in. I was like, I'm ready. I got my heavenly help and my earthly help. I'm ready. I was just so blessed by them. And when you realize it, this southern New England area was really the last breakout of real growth in the Northeast U.S. under Bishop Boone's leadership. I served for 10 years, and we did not come close to the type of growth that took place during his tenure. I give God thanks and praise that long after we leave this earth, our work, may the work I've done speak for me. Speak for me. There are ministries in this southern New England area right now, Pastor, that is enjoying benefits, blessings, harvests, that would not be there had it not been for the labor of Bishop Willie R. Boone and Pastor Dorothy Grace Boone. The two of them together. There are people that are eating fruit today out of orchards they did not plant. It's amazing how short our memories are sometimes. but when I think about that, the amazing growth that took place, this New England area, and many of you that have been here a long time, you know even better than I that this was one of the hardest places to break through. And he came with the vision and with the Holy Spirit and moved fearlessly through the area and brought about what we are realizing today. When other folk were sitting around saying it's too expensive, it gets cold too quick, and it stays cold too long, and folk don't really want to serve God in that area. He just went to work for God. My God. And not only are, I think it's a blessing that other people are receiving the wonder and blessings of what his ministry, but to have his son. Amen. That is a blessing. He, your pastor was always very quiet. He never would talk back much to me. But he would always look directly at me when I was talking. So I figured I was kind of getting home. And he was very stoic. He never showed me a whole lot. But to realize, a couple of times, he always has that look like, you don't really want to bother me. I would be, we would be in a high time service and the Spirit of God, and I'd be looking around and I'd see him, and I knew he knew I was coming to him, but he'd sit there and he'd drop his head or look the other direction, but was always respectful, never rejecting, but always received. And look at what God has done today. Amen. Beside him sits his lovely wife, First Lady Deborah Boone. God bless you. Oh, we esteem you. Can I just leave a word with you? Take care of this man of God and his family, his wife. Is that all right? The Bible tells us to do that. Take it from an old man that's been able to step back and take a look back. I've been out of the region 5 years now. I still get phone calls from people saying stuff like, Bishop, I get it now. I understand what you were trying to say. And I have to be silent for a moment, because you think back, you think 5 years later, and you talking about you get it. I don't even know what I was trying to get you to get. And the Holy Spirit says to me, you need to listen. And I do, and I receive it, and we move forward. But take care of them. Take care of them. I want you to take care of them when they do everything you think they should do. I want you to take care of them when they do everything you think they should do and more. I want you to take care of them when they don't do what you think they should do. Because I'm going to tell you something. While we think the pastor and his wife should be doing something, there's another voice in his ear. Are you following me? And that voice speaks clearly and succinctly. What sometimes people don't understand is that when you were leading, you were in a straight. You can't just go off in a direction like you want to. And sometimes the direction you go in, people don't understand. That's why you get phone calls 5 years later saying, I do. And I'm saying, I'm glad you do, but I don't need you to do now. But it's always good to get a breakthrough whenever it comes, and we do give God praise for that. But we do honor them. We do honor them. We honor, again, Bishop Boone and Pastor Dorothy Grace Boone and their legacy. There, you are a part of one of the greatest moves of God in the 21st century. Amen. Realize that. You're part of one of the greatest moves of God. And to sustain that by the power of the Holy Spirit is a tremendous blessing. You need to wear it with honor. You need to wear it with humility. You need to wear it with consistency. I won't give up. I won't quit. I'm still moving forward for God's glory. Amen. Amen. Am I doing okay? I'm still good. Okay. I do, you know, I found out, and I told you my next birthday I'm going to be 70 years old. And so I want you to understand that faces are familiar, but sometimes names aren't. Has anybody reached that stage in life where you think? Somebody knows you. And you're like, oh, my Lord, please, Holy Ghost, bring it. And then finally, they have to tell you who they are. And I used to be tough on old people. I'm not anymore. I'm not anymore because, but it is so good to be back. I heard Brother Morrison mention his father. A marvelous minister in the gospel for so many years, and we just need to ensure that we cover him in our prayers. Sometimes Satan tries to do his greatest work against the warrior when they reach advanced age. Come on now. Yeah, that's when the attacks come. And sometimes we step back and watch, but our job is to pray them through. They preached to us, they taught us, they carried us, and now we are to lift them up. One of the greatest things that I would treasure the rest of my life is that Bishop and Pastor Boone were there to catch me on my way up. I was 21 years old. 21. First time in the big city, starry-eyed, you know, coming out of North Carolina. And he caught me, and they walked me through. And then God allowed me to be present with them as they moved into the advanced years of their life. That I'll cherish that. Cherish that for the rest of my days. To Deacon House, God bless you, Brother Ron, certainly. Let me mention also, Pastor, your ushers and greeters. Can we just give them a hand? They set the tone before you ever get in here. Beautiful smiles, engaging. Sometimes, haven't you ever been to a church where you're afraid to approach the usher? They are not the invitation through the door. It's like they're guarding the door. But the ushers here are just so warm and engaging and inviting. And it's just so good to feel that closeness and inviting for to come in. So we commend them. I commend you as a local church and to every member and visitor and friend that is here in the church to be given New Haven as a harvest field. Think on it. To be given New Haven as a harvest field. New Haven is known for a lot of things. It is known for its world-renowned university, which is one of the most liberal universities on the face of the earth. So people from all over the world, you can find somebody from everywhere right here in New Haven. God has said, this is to be your field of harvest. Opportunity, opportunity, opportunity to declare the richness of the message of Christ to those of whom we come in contact. Amen. How marvelous the Lord is. I was talking to my wife this morning, and she sends her love to you, Sister Deborah, and also to you, Pastor. And she said, she said, is she still as beautiful and pretty as she's always been? I said, yeah, babe, yes, she is. Yeah. She sends her love. She sends her love. One of the things that has been such a blessing is that my wife and I have had opportunity just to sit still and talk about our lives, about ministry and about things that have gone on, times that you don't get while you're in it. You know, you talk when you're in it, but you don't really talk when you're in it because I know for me, let me talk about me. Yeah. You're always looking forward and pressing to the next thing as the Spirit of God is flowing in you. And you forget sometimes the wife has to catch up, stay up with you as God deals with her. So I pray for a double portion of God's grace to rest upon you. Anybody else join me in lifting up the First Lady for a double portion of God's grace to rest upon you? Amen. Amen. You are God's daughter. God has, you are in His sight line. God has prepared you for this time. You don't have to measure up to nobody's stuff. God has called you and set you just where He wants you. You don't have to follow nobody else's model. God said, cut your own way. Because I've called you for this time. So you stand in confidence and you be the woman of God that God has sent you to be right now. Amen. You know how we like to hang a bunch of stuff on folk and tell them, well, it used to be, and then you don't have to used to do nothing. The Spirit of God speaks to you. You walk in with your husband. You all stand strong together in the name of the Lord. God didn't call you to be by Him and not give you the grace to walk with Him every step, to every depth and to every height. Somebody tell me amen if you believe it to be true. Amen. Amen. Y'all be glad to see me go. I guess y'all think I'm meddling so much here. Well, you won't have to put up for me, but for the next 2 hours. No, we're not going to do that. I'm so blessed. The pastor and I have talked many times about me just coming in and being with him, and we talk a lot as we would connect with regards to Pastor Boone. I want us to stay connected, stay close. You know I'm praying for you, And you know I'm just a phone call away. And when I can't get here, I know somebody that's always here. Hallelujah. That's always here. We will call for the power of God. Presence of God. I love what Jesus said. Jesus said, it is expedient that I go away. If I don't go, then the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, cannot come. But if I depart, He will come unto you. Hallelujah. And when He comes, He comes to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Hallelujah. He's here. He's here. But I told somebody, if you ever catch me leaning and you look and you say, I don't see anything, but He seems to be leaning, just let you know I'm leaning on the Spirit of God. I'm leaning on the power of God. I'm not leaning about to fall, because the Spirit doesn't let me fall. It just lets me go just. Amen. Amen. It's dangerous to let a preacher up to preach that don't preach on a regular basis every Sunday. All right, well let's try. Let's go to the Word of God. Could you stand with me? I want to go to the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel according to Luke. We want to go to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22, and we're going to begin reading at verse 54. When you found it, say praise the Lord. Amen. Bible scholars finding it quickly, shouting praise the Lord. For those of you that seldom open your Bible and don't know that the Gospel of Luke is in the New Testament, you're still thumbing trying to get there. Well, we just whisper silent to yourself, oh me. You found Luke chapter 22, and you got your finger on verse 54. All right, you read with your eyes, and I will read aloud. I'm reading from the New King James Translation, verse 54 of Luke chapter 22. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." Peter denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Verse 59. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord, watch this now, this is verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we stand in this place today before your people. It is our desire to open your word in a manner of light and life. that those that hear will receive and understand. And with that understanding, they will walk in obedience to your living word. We believe that you have purposed at this hour to be a time of enlightenment through your word for your people. We are grateful that you have chosen us to be this present vessel. We submit to you. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may take your seat in the presence of the Most High God. The phrase, objects in the mirror are closer than they appear, began appearing in American cars on the passenger side mirror somewhere around 1972. It was determined by the U.S. Department of Transportation that this phrase should be added as a warning for all drivers that their sight line for viewing traffic on the right side of their vehicle needed to be properly interpreted for distance to avoid danger when driving. It is really a call to safety. The safety not only applied to the driver, but to his or her passengers as well. And to all other drivers and passengers who may be traveling in close proximity on the same road or highway and in the same space. This message also serves as a call for awareness of the space and distance of things around us. Really, in reality, what it's saying is you need to be able to interpret where you are and the proper distance for you to maneuver or do whatever it is that you are doing when you are driving with safety. It is also utilized not only in our driving, but when we are parking or backing up. How many of you drove to church today? You probably looked into that right-hand passenger mirror to gauge where people were without giving any consideration to the little message. Objects in the mirror may be closer than they appear. Why? Simply because you have adjusted to the convexness of the image that reflects out of that mirror. You understand that in order to drive safely, you have to recognize what that mirror shows you. There's something called the blind spot. The blind spot. And it's aptly named. As I was driving from the Hartford Airport here on early Thursday morning, it was a little foggy, it had been raining, and a car came up quickly behind me, and I went to move over to the right because I wanted to get out of the faster driver's way. And I happened to be driving a car that not only tells me that things are closer than they appear, but if you move, there's a little warning sound now that's been added, and it started beeping, beep, 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 beep. And I was like, wait a minute, that's telling me that car is too close for me to do what I want to do. I guess the reality is, every one of us that drove here today used this law that was approved and implemented this process in navigating our vehicle, and it's done for our safety and the safety of others that's on the road. Many of you last used this mirror when you parked. If you didn't pull straight in, you backed in. And if you backed in, you had to know that the mirror tells you there's a wall of the church. And it appears closer than it actually is. And so to avoid backing into the side of the church, the mirror gauges the distance and you respond to it. Well, church, I guess I'm here to say to you that in our text, we find that distance matters. When we are following Christ, distance matters. I want to just use a thought this morning. Followers of Christ, but at the wrong distance. Followers of Christ, but at the wrong distance. My brothers and sisters, our text reveals a similar warning. The danger that followers of Christ are placed in when they fail to follow the divine instructions for distance when living for Christ on the earth. People that should be here this morning, people that should be a part of this gathering of believers, are missing or absent simply because they failed to obey the call to line up with Christ at the proper distance. The Bible makes it clear that as followers of Christ, we are called to Him. We are called to Him. He calls us to Him. This is a call to observe and to be aware of our distance and our proximity to Him. In our text, the Bible says, from verse 54, if we go back and catch some of that previous reading, we find that Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He has reached the apex, the climax of His time on earth for ministry. He has done what the Father has told Him to do. And He is now about to be arrested and later on crucified so that He may return back to the Father and become the intercessor that we call upon even to this day in order to be able to make it through in this fallen world. Jesus is ever present before the Father making intercession for us. Oh, hallelujah. Think about it. Jesus alone calls your name before the Father. Father, in my name, deliver, rescue, empower, bless, raise up, release. Jesus. Hallelujah. He is in His rightful place. The Gospel of Mark is the first gospel written, which was written some 40 years after the death of Jesus. But Mark says something in chapter 3, verse 15. that gets my attention. He says, and he goeth up into a mountain, and he calleth unto him whom he would. Now watch this. And they came unto him. I'm talking distance now. I'm talking about how we respond to Christ. Distance. And they came unto him. And he blessed them and he taught them. Why? Because he wanted to send them forth to preach. If you and I ever intend to do anything for God, we've got to watch the distance that we follow him. There's so many things in life that mess with the distance. Let's go back and catch Peter. If we know anything about Peter, somebody said it like this. Every one of us ought to identify with Peter. You don't have to raise your hand. Because Peter was messed up sometime. You know, it's usually about this time that we sit there and in our minds we think of other folk that's messed up, but it's not us. But you know what? Peter was so much like we are. When times were high and things were going good, you remember when he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration? And you know, that Peter was up there, and this is the way I characterize it. He was there to see stuff. He wasn't there to speak. But when he got up there, he said, let's build 3 tabernacles. And then God from heaven said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. God was gracious, but what he was saying is, shut up, Peter. You are only up here to observe. You are only up here to see. It's my son that is to deliver the message. And I'm well pleased with what he's doing. I want to ask you a question. So when it comes down to the gospel ministry that goes out from this church, what's your position in Christ? Now, hold on. I'm not talking about, you know, because some folks say, well, what you going to point me to, Pastor? Now, this is what's so amazing. Folk don't want to do nothing till they're appointed, but when they get appointed, they don't do nothing. It ain't this church. I'm just telling you about other churches I know. You got that, right? I'm not talking about y'all. But I know church. I know churches. Folk won't do nothing until they're appointed to something. And when they're appointed to something, they do nothing. I'm just so glad y'all don't know nothing about that. Amen. But it is our position where we are. Let me go back to this mirror. The design is such that our eyes view things in a way that alerts us to danger. Anybody wear glasses and you're nearsighted? Anybody wear glasses and you're farsighted? Anybody have astigmatism? Well, I'm messed up. I've got them all. So I wear what is called progressive. Now they tell me the progressive. See, when I stand here, I can read this. But if I look through the bottom of my lens at you, everybody grew fuzz. But the middle part of my lens gives me the distance to see a certain place. But if I want to see all the way to the back, I just drop them just a little and you're crystal clear all the way to the back door. So when I look up and catch you in between, fuzzy. Distance matters. The Bible says that when Jesus was facing the most difficult and trying time in his earthly existence, Peter, who had been so loudmouthed, who had just pulled out his sword at the beginning of this passage, in this chapter and cut off the high priest's servant's ear. And God had to tell him, Peter, why would you bring a man's weapon to a God fight? Oh, you missed that. Why would you bring a man's weapon to a God fight? Don't you know, Peter, with a man weapon, you win some, you lose some, and some may end in a draw. That's why the writer says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Man's weapons will get you some victories. But if you keep fighting, you'll get some losses. I'm not so much of a boxing fan now, but years ago I used to be a boxing fan. And I'd love it when these newcomers would come on the scene and they're knocking everybody out. You remember Mike Tyson? He was knocking everybody out, just knocking them out. Nobody can whip Mike Tyson. But he kept fighting. He got into the ring with a journeyman by the name of Buster Douglas. And folks said, ooh, this is going to be good. It's going to be good because he's gonna get another W tonight because he's going to knock Buster Douglas out. But what happened? When you use man's weapons, you win. But there are times that somebody else uses their manly weapon and you don't win. The next thing Mike Tyson knew, he was crawling on the canvas, put his mouthpiece in crooked, tried to get up and fell back, and they counted him out. Man's weapons. But with God's weapons, the scripture says they are mighty. How? Not through us. You remember David? David said, I've got a sling and I've got some rocks, but don't nobody get it twisted. What I'm about to do is not about me and my ability. I know that I slew a bear, and I know that I slew a lion, and I know that I've kept my father's flock, but I'm feeling another kind of help coming on. And this sling and this rock has now been dedicated over to God. This is a God weapon. Goliath said to him, you come after me with staves? This is what you come after me. He said, this day, God's going to deliver you into my hands. Hallelujah. The challenge before us comes in knowing how to use spiritual weapons. Knowing how to follow God just right. There have been times in my spiritual walk that I wanted to take off my bishop title, set aside my position or appointment, sneak into my own outfit. We're living in the day of superheroes. I'm going to tell you something. There's sometimes I'd have loved to have stepped in a phone booth and stepped out. And handled it. But if I would have, I may win that one. But I'd run up against another one that I would not be able to handle. So I hide myself. Paul said, listen, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's the Christ that liveth within me. And this life that I now live in the flesh, somebody needs to say amen. I follow him and I stay close to him. Because this life that I now live in the flesh, God orders my distance. I don't set my distance. God orders my distance. I have to stay close to him because God orders my distance. Hallelujah. There are things that like to mess with our distance. Just like it was with Peter here. There are some times, depending on how we feel about folk, that's how we choose our seat in the church. My flight leaves at 5. You know what? Sometimes folk can't praise God because of the distance that they create.
Can I tell you something?
God is not obligated to find me on a pew that he didn't set me on. God is not obligated to bless me somewhere that he didn't ordain for me. But when I line up with him, there are times that he wants me to walk in where there is tension and things are not like I'd like them to be. And God says, you don't have nothing to say. Sit in it. And while I sit in it, he says, I'm going to do the work. You know, sometimes we try to fix it with our own words. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind, and that will settle it. Now, hold on. Don't give away too many pieces, because if you do, you ain't got no mind. But what he wants is us to step in and trust him. I love it when God comes in. And when there is division, when there is struggle, when there is strife, I call myself a child of God. You call yourself a child of God. And we both submit to the power of God and watch God work in a mighty transforming way. Peter hung out. The Bible says this. His first problem was he followed at a distance. Look at the person next to you and say, how close are you to Christ? How close are you following? How close are you following? Are you at the right distance? Can you see danger from where you are? Oh, God. Yeah. He followed at a distance. Secondly, he was in a place he had no business being. The Bible says that when they took Jesus, he walked at a distance. And when those that were against Jesus settled in a place, he thought he could hide among them. I want to tell you something. Once you've been turned on to the light of Jesus Christ, once the power of God has stirred in you, you can go back in the darkness if you want to. God says, I'll show you up. I am not going to hide because you get at the wrong distance. I'm going to keep my light on you. Folk are going to see. You can curse if you want to. You can behave unseemingly if you want to. But they're still going to identify you because I'm not going to take my hand off of you. Three times. I'm almost done. Three times. You're one of his. No, I'm not. See, you know, it doesn't matter where you go. God says, I will keep my light on you, and the world will recognize me in you when you won't recognize me in you. The second time, he's one of them. No, I'm not. Matthew says that he cursed. See, when you are at the wrong distance, you get exposed, and you trying to cover what you should have been with what you were trying to be. And so, yeah, you didn't intend to go, but so far. My God. Listen, somebody says, sin will take you further than you want to go and cost you more than you were able to pay. I only intended to put my toe in. I wasn't going back all the way, but I just, that's all, I just, but when I got out there, I got pulled in. And when I found out where I was, I didn't want to be exposed from where I came from. So I thought I'd ask where I was. But the one who has delivered me said, you can step over there, but I'm going to show up in the midst of it. I'm going to see you anyway. Peter, the third time, Peter said, no, you got the wrong person. The rooster jumped up on the stump, cleared his throat. Cock-a-doodle-doo. The Bible says, Peter remembered what the Lord had said. I'm here to warn somebody. I'm here to encourage somebody. I'm here to comfort somebody. I'm here to tell somebody that you don't need to get yourself in a position where you are outside of the distance where God wants to work with you. I know that you're having some problems. I know that you're having difficulty. I know that you don't like what's going on. I know that you feel powerless to change it. But I heard God say, sit still. Sit still. You don't have to move. How many of you know that the battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's? The Lord is the captain, and the battle belongs to him. Peter had himself in a position. If he'd have been closer, he wouldn't have needed another fire to keep him warm. You know how it is. You've been fellowshipping Christ, and there's something about the Holy Spirit that just resides with you, that's taken up a boat in your life, and you just feel that warm glow. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's sometimes I wake up, I don't turn a light on, I'm just laying in my bed, and I used to say it like this. I say, and he came into the room. But now I realize he was in the room all the time. I just now recognize his presence. But when we are out of the distance, danger can come because we are not under his covering. Church, we are challenged in these last days. That, listen, we are living in a time. The Bible says this. It says, be not deceived. Deceive not yourself. Let no man deceive you. For many are deceived. And somebody says, I'm too smart to be fooled. Okay. But that's no protection against deception. Can I let you know something? The deception is a spirit. It has nothing to do with your smartness or your intellect. That's why the world will be deceived as we move further into the last days. Folks sitting around with all of their knowledge talking about, I'm going to watch. If I see the man of sin show up, praise God, I'm just going to turn the other way. Do you realize that unless the Holy Spirit removes the veil from your eyes, you cannot see, nor can you interpret what the man of sin is doing. Can I speak politically without being political? Is that all right? Now, when you leave here, this is what I need you to say. The preacher spoke politically, but he was not being political. Amen. We got that? Do I need to say it again? Listen. we are living now in a time that we should be on our faces daily. I don't know what prayer coming out of this church looks like. But if the pastor says, meet me here at 6 a.m. for prayer, the crowd should be double this. If he says, meet me at midnight, the crowd should be double this. Somebody say, well, if it was at a better time, I would come. Prayer is never convenient. You think Jesus was looking for convenience when he said to his disciples, you all stop here and pray. I'm going to go yonder and pray. The Bible says that he prayed until the sweat became as great drops of blood. But he poured himself out. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass away from me. Have you ever been in a situation? You can't help yourself, and nobody that you know can help you. All you have to do and all you can do is turn to God. If you haven't been, you just keep living. You will get to a place that only God can help you. Jesus said, you guys have been with me, and I know that you've given the best you have, but I want you to stay here. Peter, James, John, come with me. Now y'all stay right here. I'm going to go over there and pray. But when he came back, he found them asleep. This is no time to fall asleep. This is no time to get drowsy. This is no time to back from prayer. No time to step back from the assembly of the saints. This is no time to get offended about the things of God. This is no time to pick a fight with one another. This is no time to prefer yourself over somebody else. This is no time to say I'm weak when I should be strong. This is no time to say I have no sight when I should have sight. Here, let me wrap up. There is something about the name of Jesus. Come on now. There's something about the name of Jesus. I was reading an article the other day, and it said that there was an atheist who had found himself in a dire circumstance, and he cried out, Jesus! Some of them, people that knew him, waited a while and they came to him and said, you just said Jesus. Why did you call? He said, oh, it was nothing. It's not anything at all. That's just the first word that came to mind. I still believe that our order, you know, I'm the captain of my life. I still believe that I order things for my own life. It didn't mean nothing. In the hospital, I was dealing with a man. He had been with us for several days. When I first showed up to talk with him, he said, who are you? And I said, I'm the chaplain. He said, I don't want a chaplain. You don't ever have to come back. And I said, sir, I don't want to offend you, but this unit is the unit that I cover. You are on this unit. If you don't want me to see me tomorrow, you can't tell me that today. So if you tell me today you don't want to see me, yes, sir, all right. But tomorrow I'm coming back. Because this is the unit that I've been given to cover. And I've been told to see every patient. If you don't want to see me tomorrow, you've got to tell me tomorrow. I showed up for about 3 or 4 days. He said, I told you. I said, yes, sir. You remember I told you too. This is my unit. I come every day to see every patient. You can't tell me today that you don't want me tomorrow. You have to tell me tomorrow. I showed up about 5-6 days later, and I walked past the door, and the doctor was with him. I proceeded to visit all of the other patients, and I was about to take the stairs, and the Holy Spirit said, "No, go back down the hallway past his door." And as I walked past the door, I turned and looked in. And when our eyes met, he said, come in. Everything he told me he relied on was knocked down when the doctor gave him his news. And he realized he had nothing. So he said to me, "What is it that you do when you come to see patients?" I said, "Well, the first thing I do is listen. What is it that you want to say?" And the man spilled his whole life. He laid out everything. I said, "What would you like me to help you to do?" He said, "I don't want to die. I have not been good, but I don't want to die. Is there anything you can tell me?" I said, "Sir, I want to tell you that the God that I serve is a God that doesn't hold against you how that you've kept him at a distance. He's been standing waiting for you to say, 'Come now.'" I said, "As a matter of fact, I would not have walked past your door had the Holy Spirit not told me to come past." I said, "So I'm here because the God that you've kept at a distance has always been reaching to you." He said, "What can you do?" I said, "I can pray to my God on your behalf. But I ask one thing of you." He said, "What is it?" I said, "When I'm done praying, I want you to pray to my God." He said, "I don't know how to pray." I said, "Well, I'm going to pray first. You listen. And however you feel led to do it, you do that when I tell you to pray." And I took my time and I prayed. I said, "Lord, when we don't know who you are, there are times we abuse you. There are times that we turn away from you. We are at a distance from you. But Lord, when we come into the knowledge of who you are, we recognize that you have not moved. And when we reach to you, you reach back to us." I finished my prayer and I said, "Now you pray." Out of his own words, he said, "I'm the one that moved the distance away from you. I thought if I moved from you, you would move from me. But I know now you're waiting. I'm back. I'm ready. I need you." Right there, we prayed the sinner's prayer. And he said to me, "My wife is going to be here later. Can you come back around 4:00? I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I want you to walk in and come to the door. I'm going to invite you in. And then I want you to ask me if I want you to pray. And I'm going to say, 'No, I want to pray.'" He said, "Be prepared to catch my wife." At 4:00, I went back. The wife was there. I walked in and he said, "Oh," and she invited me in. I walked up and we talked for a few minutes. I said, "Would you like to pray?" And he said, "Yes, but I want to pray." His wife stumbled back. I caught her. She said, "What? What happened?" He just started praying. This man said, "I thank you for putting her in my life. For all the times she told me to call upon you, I resisted. And I would not call you. But I'm calling you now. I thank you for her. And I thank you for never moving away from me, though I moved away from you. The wife fell across him on the bed. I prayed for the two of them and I stepped out of the room. He was discharged from the hospital. About a month later, he came back. And he came back and his condition had worsened to the point that there was no medical intervention. He said to me, "This would not have been my plan for my life. But the God that you've introduced to me and my nearness to him right now, I'm going to go ahead and take this step. I don't know what's out there, but I trust him." I've come to tell you today, saints of God, it's time to trust him. Don't back away from him. Don't put distance. It's just time to trust him. It's time to step out on faith. My oldest daughter, I'm so amazed with things that come out of her mouth. Things that I said to her years ago. And she'll say to me, "Daddy, we're just going to step out on faith." And I get chills every time she says it. Not just the words, but the confidence that she has in Almighty God. I could tell you things this morning that is absolutely amazing. There's no way I could have done it. There's no way my family could have done it. But God did it. I'm here to tell you, you need to find the right distance and walk with God. Stand to your feet with me. The Bible says that after that third time, and Peter denied the Lord, and the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered, there was something else that happened. There was something else that happened. I've got to read for you verse 61. "And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord." He's looking at you, at your distance. And all he wants you to remember is his word. "Come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Somebody needs to make a decision for Jesus today. Somebody has been holding out at a distance for too long. And the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now, not that fire, because that fire can't keep you warm. You need to come on over to the Holy Ghost fire. The Spirit of God is saying, not that distance, because at that distance, you can't receive what God has for you. You need to move a little closer to Jesus Christ. There's a spirit that has begun to fill the church in these last days. For folks that, "I got saved a long time ago." And in times like this, you know, people are standing and saying stuff like, "Lord, move on them, move on them, move on them." And the Holy Ghost said, "I'm trying to. And it's you." I want us just to pause and get still and quiet for just a moment. Holy Spirit, come. and do your work in our hearts. Lord, I realize that it doesn't matter how long I've been in the church and how long I've testified. As long as I am in this fallen world, Satan looks to tempt me, to draw me at a distance that will create danger for my life. I confess today that because I love you and because you are alive in me, I'm going to stay near to you so that I can properly interpret what it is that keeps me safe in your arms. Now, Father, Holy Spirit, move freely amongst us. Let those that under the sound of my voice be made ever aware and ready to know exactly where they stand. We do not come to condemn. We do not come to cast down. But we come that they may have life through your name, and that they may have it more abundantly. We come that is oppressed, depressed, suppressed, and repressed may break forth without hindrance in full power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, let it be so. Somebody in the house today, Holy Spirit has already been dealing with you, already talking to you. You are not coming because of me. You are coming because the Holy Spirit has said, he's put a come in your spirit. Obey it. Obey it. Come now. Step out from where you are. Come right down here. We're going to pray together. In the name of Jesus. Come as you are. Come as you are. Hallelujah.